Hi there, welcome to the Neurodivergent Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Griffith, and I am so excited to have you here. On this podcast, we talk about all forms of neurodivergence, from ADHD to learning disorders to giftedness to autism and more. If any of that sounds familiar, welcome to Neurodivergent Magic.
All right, Elsie is here. Hello. Hi. Can you see and hear me okay? I know you can see me because I see me, but can you hear me okay? That would be nice to know before we get too deep into this. Make sure y'all can hear me. Hi, Alicia. Hi, Melody. Hi, Liz. Amanda. Okay, good. You can hear me. Excellent. Glenisha, Tori. Oh, Camille is here. Hi. Hello. Hello. Phoebe, you won the artist's way from Chelsea's talk. So email me, okay? Marla, Shell, Angela, Alicia, hello, Christina. Hi, everybody. Sarah's here. Sarah, I think you won a book too. Go back through the Facebook group because I don't think you've emailed me yet. Yeah, Phoebe, you won the artist's way. Yeah. Amanda's here. Jenny's here. Catherine. Marissa. Hello. Hi, everybody. Okay, so we're just going to give it a couple minutes. We're all just going to chill. Marsha's here. Hi, Marsha. We're just going to breathe. We're just going to give people a minute to show up. I want to make sure everybody who wants to see this sees it. And I know sometimes it can take a minute for Facebook to for you to find the talks on Facebook. So I just want to give people a minute. Yeah. Oh, Mia. So sweet. Yeah. Congrats to the book winners. Agreed. There's another Amanda. Yes. I did. I think Sarah with an H one, but I'll take a look. No, it was Sarah Mia's, right? I'm not sure how you say your last name, but I'm fairly certain you won one. Let me look. Let's see, Sarah. Yeah, you won Unmasked, I'm pretty sure, by Ellie Middleton from Georgia's talk. Yeah, that's what I have in here anyway. So goose, geese, moose, meese. Oh, meese. Okay, perfect. Sorry. Two Alicias and a Glenisha, which rhymes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Megan, I'm so in awe of all the effort and attention you've been able to put into this. Truly incredible. I've loved every minute. Heart just bursting with gratitude. Oh my gosh. Thanks. Thanks. I'm going to crash really hard tomorrow. I am going to crash super. And if you're in my containers tomorrow, just expect to get a real low energy version of me tomorrow, which is fine. All versions of ourselves are welcome, as Dr. Chelsea taught us. But yeah. This has been amazing. I wish I found this sooner. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything for a week. Yeah. How do I see the bag? Oh, the goodie bag. Okay. So let me, if you're having trouble accessing your goodie bag, email me. I will drop my email in the comments. And I will help you sort it out, okay? Because doing it over Facebook Live, it's going to be really hard. But don't stress. I will get you access as soon as I humanly possibly can. Not sure if you got it. That's fine. Just shoot me an email. I can check for you. And then I'll see if you purchased it. And if you did, we'll make sure you figure out how to get access. Let's see. I love this whole summit. I'm happy I got to attend. Goodie bag was gifted to me as well. Oh, that's so lovely. Good. Let's see. It's nice that it's virtual. Yeah. In-person ones are so draining. I'm so with you. Like I, when I was in grad school, I went to the AWP, like America's Writers and Publishers, I think is what it stood for. And yeah, it was very draining. Very cool, but very draining. Yeah. Bag is super affordable with all the resources. It's worthy. Yeah. Thank you for the NeuroSpicy Club blessing. Heck yeah. If you haven't heard, the NeuroSpicy Club is officially pay what you can instead of the $27 a month. So if you've been avoiding joining because of the price, that's no longer a barrier. The lowest, the basement for payment is $3 a month. So it does still cost something, but it's much more affordable than it used to be. So See, I can't spend much time talking tonight, but I want to join your group too. I just sent out an email to everybody on the waitlist, so you should have that. If not, let me go ahead and drop the link. There is where you can join the membership, and doors are open now. So when you go to the membership page, it will, if you click one of the buttons that says, I want to join, it'll take you to Ko-Fi. Okay. Ko-Fi is where you have to set up a monthly recurring donation. If you choose a one-time donation, you will not be added to the monthly, to the NeuroSpicy Club, just so you know. Even if you just want to pay for 1 month and then you think you're probably going to cancel next month, set up a recurring donation and then go in and cancel future donations. That's how I would do it. Because if you do the one-time donation, I have it set up so that it doesn't add people to the NeuroSpicy Club, because the whole point is that you're in for a little while to like hang out with people. So, yeah. Cannot express how happy I am to have found this community. Yeah. In-person summits are a whole different type of energy. Thank you, Jacob. I will get back to you as soon as this is over. Okay. Possibly tomorrow, because I might be a little drained after this. Let's see, screaming at my email and mentally dancing. You are amazing, Megan. I'm so excited you're going to be in here, Glenisha, because I remember you from last year and you are incredible. And I'm so excited for us to meet on Zoom. It's going to be so fun. I'm pumped. No annual anymore. No, there's no more annual option because it's really hard for me to set that up with everybody paying what they can. I didn't know how to do that. So if someone knows how to do that and wants to walk me through it, I'm open to it. But yeah, I'm going to step away from the keyboard while I do one of my challenging quest higher level spell slot dishes. Yes. Okay. You got this. I believe in you. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited for the club. It's exactly what I've been looking for over the past year. I'm so happy. I'm so excited that so many of you are going to join and we're going to continue this energy. I'm pumped. It's going to be great. And just wait, like go, even though you know you want to join the NeuroSpicy Club, I encourage you to go to the sales page and scroll down to where I introduce our speakers for this quarter. Because they're incredible. They're very white. And I do apologize for that. Okay. That just happened. And it's something I'm noticing in a lot of my containers that just happens, that all of my guest speakers are like weirdly white. And that's something I'm working on. But next quarter, so April, May, June, will be much more diverse. Okay. Just so you know, I'm working on it. Let's see. OMG, you may not be able to imagine how happy I am right now. I'm so excited. That's so wonderful. Hooray. Okay. All right. So let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. I'm also weirdly white. It's okay. Well, okay. It's okay for us because we're white and we feel represented, but like, I don't want anyone who's in this summit and feeling left out because I didn't include people who look like them. And so I don't want that. So this has been so validating and informative. Being sick and burnt out, I have no real community and almost no one who can relate to what I'm experiencing. Oh, Liz. Yeah, that's tough. That's really, really freaking tough. So yeah. I know the club is supposed to be supportive, but I can't help but feel like I won't have the spoons to even open up the club more than once. And Angie, that is so potentially true, because we're in Discord and Discord can be a little overwhelming to people, just so you know. excuse me. So it's okay if this is not the right time for you, or maybe it's never the right time for you. If this isn't the right container for you, that's fine. It's so okay. All right. Do not stress. Right now, you may have to prioritize rest over community. That just might be something you have to do. Let's see, just join. Yay, Amanda Kelly. Amazing. 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 What if you can't make the monthly coaching calls? That's okay, Sarah. There's lots of other calls. There's the monthly book club. There's the weekly body doubling. There's monthly workday calls. Okay, time zones. Most of our calls are at 11 a.m. Eastern, but the book club is at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that you might be able to make. I'm thinking about adding some body doubling that are in different time zones, but that will depend on how many people join and what kind of like cash flow I have to hire somebody to take on some of the body doubling. We're all on a journey of being equitable and inclusive. I admire your ability to publicly monitor yourself. You're amazing. Yeah, I don't want accolades for being aware that I'm not as inclusive as I could be. That feels very, I don't know, that doesn't feel right. So it's, I mean, it's okay. It's fine. I'm not like just, yeah. Anyway, I could do the 9 p.m. Yeah, so come for the book club. That would be great. That would be super great. All right, I'm going to share my screen. Okay, Canva, we'll go here, presents. It's thinking. There we go. Okay. All right. So I'm neurodivergent. Now what? Let's talk about this. Okay. So many people come to me. I think I'm ADHD. I think I'm autistic. I think I have dyscalculia. What do I do next? Right? What do I do next? It's such a tough question. So we're going to dive right into this. So before we do though, here are all the places you can follow me. I'm Meg Moxie on TikTok at neurodivergent_magic on Instagram. And then I also have the Neurodivergent Magic podcast and YouTube. So I'm everywhere. I'm a bit of a content monster. I thoroughly enjoy creating content, especially about this stuff. So yeah. What if you feel like your place on the spectrum makes it hard to pin down, that you yourself questions it? I feel like diagnosis is very expensive, and even then they could be wrong. I feel like I have had personal connections with many people on the spectrum in my life, but just as easily blend with allistics. I can be very sarcastic, etc. I am only really questioning it now because someone in the community brought it to my attention. Yeah, Vel, okay. I think you have to ask yourself, how can this label serve me? Right? How can this label serve me? Would identifying as autistic help me in some way? Would it explain what I'm going through? Would it give me an identity that makes sense for me? Does it feel right? Do I line up with the criteria, frankly? Because for me, when I first heard about autism, I did not assume it was me at all. But when I really looked at the criteria, it was like, oh shit, that's me. So yeah. Okay. I need this session. I'm newly diagnosed with ADHD like a few months ago. Oh, Sarah, congrats. That's wonderful. I hope it helps explain things. I'm not sure about many video calls right now, but just being able to follow threads and pages with others who think like me will be so helpful. Yeah, and Glenisha, you can always have your camera off. You can always come on and we utilize the chat sometimes. Sometimes I even do, not sometimes, like if someone wants coaching, but they are nonverbal or going through a verbal shutdown, I can do coaching in the chat. So we can do it via text like we've been doing all day. So yeah. The label only helps if the label helps. Heck yeah. Okay. So agenda for today. Number one, why it's okay to identify as neurodivergent now, even if you realize you're wrong later. Number two, steps to embrace your brain as it is right now. And step three is going to be Q&A. So who am I? Some of you know me really well, and some of you don't know me at all, and that's completely fine. So my name is Megan Griffith. I am a neurodivergent life coach, and about me as a coach, I am certified from Transformation Academy. I got certified in January of 2021, and I work primarily with neurodivergent clients. This actually started because I was a general mental health coach, and then I realized all of my clients were like autistic and ADHD. And then I learned more about neurodivergence and realized that even if someone like had quote unquote just depression or something, that would still make them neurodivergent. And anyway. So I work with neurodivergent clients of all kinds. I specialize in a couple of things, executive dysfunction, emotional dysregulation, and internalized shame. I specialize in these things because they are areas I have significantly improved in my own life. And I feel very confident that I can help others improve it in their lives as well. So about me as a person. So I was misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder from ages 19 to 24. Before you jumped down my doctor's throats, it was my idea. I was convinced I had bipolar disorder. I was also convinced I did not have bipolar disorder. I was basically stuck in limbo for about 6 years. It was horrible. Finally, I later was accurately diagnosed with both autism and ADHD combined type in 2022. And then a little fun fact, my hair is never the same color for more than 6 months. It just isn't. I love dyeing my hair. Over the summer, I actually had split dye. So it was pink on one side and orange on the other, and it was gorgeous. So let's see. Okay. I think I'm so highly masking that whenever I tell someone about neurodivergence, I just get pushed back and they say, no, you're not. Fuck those people. They don't know your brain. Like, to be frank. Many find replacing label with identity in that case feels good for anyone. Yes. Yes. If the word label freaks you out, try on the word identity. Yeah, for me, reading the criteria didn't make sense. Hearing people actually explain their experiences have been more helpful. That's fair. Very fair. Let's see. I understand intellectually that any mental condition is not categorical, but dimensional. Yes, there is no red line that you are on either side of, but being all or nothing in a lot of situations and needing to go by the book, I struggle accepting there is no concrete answer. Fair. Yeah. How can I reframe this? Because ultimately it does not serve me to be like, yes, no all the time. So when it comes to neurodivergence in particular, I think it's really helpful to think of humanity as breakfast foods. And follow me here. It's helpful to think of humanity as breakfast foods. All autistic people are muffins. So there is a red line. Like, you're either autistic or you're not. You're either a muffin or you're not. Like, a pancake is not a muffin. There are things we have in common, but a pancake and a muffin are completely separate. However, within the world of being autistic, there's blueberry muffins, there's apple cinnamon muffins, there's double chocolate muffins. There's all kinds of autistic people, but we're all muffins. Does that make sense? So that's how I've reframed some of my black and white thinking is like, okay, it's black and white, but there's shades of gray within. Does that make sense? I don't know. Let me know. I'm so interested in redefining our ND experience from the inside out. That's why I'm hearing why hearing about others' lived experience is invaluable. Yeah, you guys are going to be very excited in about a year. I may or may not have a book coming out, and that book may or may not involve completely redefining the criteria for autism, ADHD, and ADHD. So yeah, keep your eyes out. I was misdiagnosed with bipolar for 10 years, finally got the right diagnosis as of the past few months. Oh, Melody, that must feel so good to feel so seen. Yeah. Okay. Seeking out autistic creators who were socialized as women. Yeah. That's okay. Just because I didn't meet the specific criteria. Psychiatrists don't actually know what the autistic criteria is. They know the stereotype of the autistic criteria. And if you don't meet the stereotype, they dismiss you. But the actual criteria can present in so many different ways. So anyway. Okay, let's see. So I love muffins, LMAO. I've never been so excited to be muffin. I think I've attributed to most of my failures or inability to achieve things to laziness, trauma, or maybe other comorbidities, but now I wonder, since at the age of 33, I struggle with some of these things yet still. Anyone I mention I could be autistic to, they think I am trolling them. Again, fuck those people a little bit, right? Because you're opening up to them, trying to explain an identity that feels validating to you, and then they deny you. What, because they think they know you better than you know yourself? Like, I have no patience for those people anymore. So screw that. Also, I want to say you should check out the book Laziness Does Not Exist by Devin Price. It's the same Devin Price who wrote Unmasking Autism. It's a very good book. I think it'll help you a lot. I was diagnosed by a university research team, but I still think, what if I fooled them all? All right, Alicia, I have a really unique perspective on this that might be helpful. Because the classic response to this is to say, you couldn't fool a doctor. First of all, sure you could. Doctors are not some like infallible objective power. They're people. They can be fooled just like anybody else. And I say this as someone who fooled her medical team into thinking I had bipolar, right? All of my doctors agreed I had bipolar disorder, okay? I don't. And I can say that with a lot of confidence because I have been on solely an antidepressant and not been manic at all. And that's a pretty darn good sign that if you have bipolar, it's a very unusual form, right? So I don't have bipolar, but I convinced everyone around me that I did. So I want you to know, instead of telling yourself, I couldn't have tricked them, but that's not working, right? That's not sticking in your brain. What I want you to tell yourself is, it's okay. Like, let's just take a breath and recognize that if I was able to fool them into thinking I had this, then I must struggle with these things in a pretty significant way. Okay. It might not be autism and ADHD. Just like for me, it wasn't bipolar, and that's okay. It doesn't mean your struggles aren't real. Those struggles exist because the doctors, they saw that, okay? The label just may be a little off, and that's okay too. Or maybe the label's not off at all. Maybe it's dead on, you know? But I think it's really helpful to acknowledge, like, to answer that what if. What if I fooled them? Okay, what if? And what? What happens then? You know, just answering that can be really powerful. So, let's see. Feels good to be seen. I'm looking forward to slowly reducing my bipolar meds under the supervision of my psychiatrist, A+, from the highest allowable amount to something lower, maybe even no bipolar meds at all. We'll see. That's great, Melody. And just remember, if you need the meds, you need the meds. I personally am on an antipsychotic, but it's not for bipolar disorder and not for psychosis, which is fine to have, by the way. I just don't. For me, it's for mood regulation and it reduces my autistic meltdowns. So yeah. So I'm having to skip through some of this. So sorry. Where do you recommend going for actual autism diagnoses? I recommend the Neuroclastic Directory of Diagnosticians. So I put that in the chat for you. I really need to hear that about the what ifs. Yeah, yeah. I sought out someone who specifically addresses late in life diagnosed women. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Onward. So, welcome to the neurodivergent community. If you have been attending this summit and identifying with what everyone is saying, I have to be honest, you're probably neurodivergent in some way. Okay. And it's okay if you don't know the exact word for it yet, or if you'd rather just identify broadly as neurodivergent for now. But I want to welcome you because you belong here. Even if you find out later that you are completely 100% neurotypical, right now, this is where you need to be. It's okay for you to be here. Okay. All are welcome. Let's see. That's how I found my diagnostician. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So the power of community, being around other people who understand at least somewhat, because none of us understand what it's like to be each other perfectly, but being around people who get it a little bit, what it's like to be in your head and what it's like to feel so different because of what's going on in your head is liberating, okay? It feels like a gasp of fresh air when you didn't even realize you were holding your breath. Being around your people makes you feel less alone and maybe even more importantly, less broken. It's so important to be in these spaces together. All right, so step one, when you think you might be neurodivergent, say it out loud, okay? And I know this sounds very simple, but it really helps, okay? So at least once or twice a day, I want you to say out loud, I'm neurodivergent, or I'm autistic, or I'm dyslexic, or whatever label fits you best, okay? I want you to get used to the way the words feel on your tongue and how you feel in your chest when you say them, okay? I know at first your chest is probably going to feel tight. You might trip over the words as you say them, but I'm telling you over time, it starts to feel more natural. You start to take up space with your chest and it's such a good thing and it's really powerful. So when that discomfort comes up, not if, when, try not to shoo it away, but listen to where it comes from and comfort that part of yourself. Okay. Let's see. Again, I intellectually understand the issues with the DSM. It is a book exists, so I have to go by the book. It's tough not to take it at face value. Well, you have to remember the people who wrote the DSM were likely not autistic. And so they wrote the autistic criteria based on how autistic people inconvenienced them. And they also wrote them in a neurotypical way, which means they probably weren't actually that straightforward. They probably wrote one thing and meant another. Does that make sense? So if you don't see yourself in the diagnostic criteria, That's okay. It doesn't mean you're not autistic, okay? There just might be some interpretation of the DSM that makes sense for you. Can I go here as well for ADHD? I think it's mostly autism, but I do think there's some ADHD assessors in there, Carissa. So hopefully, yeah. Yeah, she does not get it. Yeah, some books are fiction, Camille. Nice. Taking up space is so hard. Yes, not straightforward, of course. Of course they're not. It's only a straightforward diagnostic manual, but I'm just saying they're probably not actually being that straightforward. We need your book. I'm telling you, I'm working on it, folks. I'm working on it. Okay. Let's see. So step two is to start accommodating yourself. I want you to just pretend you have an official diagnosis. Just pretend. You have that official diagnosis. What would you start doing if you had it? How would you accommodate yourself if that was official for you? So this is something a lot of people, myself included, once upon a time, don't know when they're first exploring the world of neurodivergence. And that is, you do not need a paper diagnosis to start making your life easier. You don't need it. You can start right now. Okay, so some accommodations we can talk about. I like to separate this into sensory accommodations and then like other accommodations, just because a lot of accommodations that we talk about online are sensory based, which is fine. But I think there's other areas as well, so we should talk about those. So many neurodivergent folks, especially autists, experience sensory differences and difficulties. And often it's best to start with sensory accommodations because it's hard to accommodate other areas when you're constantly dysregulated because of your sensory environment. So let's see where, hold on. First, sensory, have a giant water bottle. I know Chelsea was kind of knocking the Stanley cups, but I'm telling you, getting a giant water bottle or a water bottle that works for you, anything that's going to convince you to drink water. For me, it's Bluey. Okay. Bluey makes me drink water. So that's number one. Let's see where, here they are. I got a pair of loops for Christmas. Earbuds or, earplugs. There we go. Earplugs can be really powerful. Loops are nice because they come in different varieties so that you can still hear speech. I also have a pair of noise canceling earbuds. So they're not over the ear, they're in the ear, which sometimes works better for my sensory. Sometimes having the over the ear headphones, like they feel bulky and it bothers me in other sensory ways. But the in-the-ear earbuds, I have the Nuheara IQ Buds Max. They were gifted to me. They're a little pricey, but they're really nice. So if you have the disposable income, I recommend them. If you don't, I have over-the-ear headphones that cost like $30. And they're also really nice and they have active noise canceling and it's great. So, let's see, have some water, have something that cancels noise if noise is a problem for you. Fidgets. This is a fidget my sister got me for Christmas. I'm obsessed with it. It's so fun. It makes such a good sound. It's really colorful. It's visually stimmy. It's tactily stimmy. It's auditorily stimmy. It's just good stims all around. What else? Get to know your sensory profile, honestly, that's a good sensory accommodation we don't talk about enough. We're just like, oh, get headphones. Oh, drink water. Oh, have fidgets. Get to know what you need. So pay attention. Go back to Christine's presentation about sensory accommodations and pay attention to all the different senses. And are you hyper or hyposensitive? Are you sensory seeking or sensory avoidant? You're probably a mix for a lot of things, but what contexts bring out which part of you? And just learn to pay attention to that. Let's see. Okay. Oh my goodness, there's so many comments. I'm so sorry. Let's see. It's very challenging when you present as most people's idea of competent and intelligent because they're like, dude, you're smarter than me. You are not disabled. It's like, it's almost like disability has nothing to do with intelligence. But I understand. I understand what you're saying. I'm not knocking you. I'm just frustrated with people who make those kinds of comments. So many typos all day. My brain is going faster than my fingers. Me. Yeah. Step two, I am not officially diagnosed. Once I realized I could accommodate myself regardless of official diagnosis, I began to feel more regulated and secure. Heck yeah. I told another provider that I wanted to find a therapist who's actually neurodivergent. She got all patronizing, like, well, just because someone doesn't share that experience doesn't mean they can't pass along valuable lessons. And then asked if I'd insist on a surgeon. Wow. Yikes. That's a big old yuck. Water bottle with a straw. Heck yeah. Loops. Yep. Think about the systems you have in place or little weird things you do to make your life easier. A hack you found. These are often your self-accommodations that you didn't realize you were already using. Heck yeah. Let's see. I wanted to mention that due to interoception issues, many people may not connect their response with a stimulus. This might feel very aggravated, but not realize it's due to a repetitive noise. Yes. Okay. This is really important to talk about. A lot of us, don't realize why we're dysregulated. So if I'm sitting here like, oh, get noise canceling headphones to drown out noise. And you're like, I'm not sensitive to noise, but every single day you feel completely overstimulated by the end of the day and you don't totally know why, it might be noise. Okay. And I think a good way to start figuring that out is to play with some of these accommodations. Like I have found that noise is not actually that overstimulating to me a lot of the time, unless it's very repetitive noises or noises that honestly, the biggest thing is being drawn out of my monotropism. That is my biggest dysregulation trigger. I think I want to be in what I'm in. And I don't want disturbances, which is hard when you have three kids. So anyway. Yeah, no, that's a really good point, Alicia. Get several copies of your fidgets to have in different spots. Yes. OMG, you can lift weights, so you don't need glasses. Exactly. That's exactly what it's like. It's just goofy. Let's see. Oh no, Phoebe, I'm so sorry about your noisy neighbors. Okay. I didn't know I needed loop earplugs until I got them and used them and felt so much better. Yeah, I get frizz on when I listen to music and the singer hits a certain frequency. Yeah, heck yeah. Okay. So other areas beyond sensory where you may need accommodations. Number one is emotional and self-concept. This is a really, really big one for me. One of the reasons we thought I had bipolar for so long is because I do have really intense emotional dysregulation. Okay. And I now know that that has to do with my unique combination of autism and ADHD together. They feed on each other and make my emotional dysregulation pretty unbearable at times. So how do you accommodate this kind of thing? Because a lot of people are like, well, I can't just be a raging asshole all the time. Like I have to just, you know, bottle it up. I have to deal with it. I have to learn to just deal with it. No, I'm not giving you permission to be a raging asshole all the time, even though that may be what your emotions tell you to do. I'm encouraging you to use a dialectical behavioral therapy skill called Wise Mind. And this is where we take our emotional mind and our logical mind and we meet in the middle, right? So you don't want your emotions driving the car, but also you don't really want your logic driving the car either, which this is where our society, I think, gets a little off. Our society says, oh, of course you want the logic driving the car. And I don't think so. I think you need Wise Mind driving the car. You need them both, right? And when it comes to emotional dysregulation, you want to be able to listen to your emotions without them like completely taking you over. And this is going to be a process, by the way. It's going to take some time and that's okay. Let's see. Okay. And that's okay. But one accommodation that helps with Wise Mind for me is ice. Ice is a really, really good way to chill out if you're triggered, or if you not even triggered necessarily, anytime you're feeling a big emotion. I bought like a beauty ice roller and I like roll it on my face. But you can just grab a frozen bag of peas, stick it on the back of your neck or on your chest. Works really well. So ice is a good way to bring yourself down. Heat is really good if you're more in the numb area and you'd like to feel something, but you're scared. I recommend getting like a heating pad. Again, put it on your chest or maybe even around your stomach. I think that can be really helpful. When it comes to self-concept, the accommodations here are just a lot of fucking self-compassion. Okay, it's kind of philosophical, but it's learning to embrace the fact that the self is constructed. There is no you that is or is not worthy of love or care or deserving of these accommodations. You don't have to earn accommodations. And I'm going to say that again because, especially for our early diagnosed people who learned their accommodations were a burden to others, you may need to hear this again. You do not need to earn accommodations. You already deserve them. Just by being yourself, period. Okay. So self-concept, I think this is really big for high maskers, really big for folks with BPD. We have a very shaky sense of self. And I think it's just really helpful to remind yourself that it doesn't necessarily matter who you are. Because, and I don't mean that in a dismissive way. I just mean, regardless of who you are, you still deserve help. You still deserve care. You still deserve accommodations. Okay, so then we have social slash relationship accommodations. This really depends on your relationships. So for my friendship like accommodations, it's basically, hey, we can text each other out of the blue. Like, I haven't texted you for 3 months, but hi, how are you? And then in my marriage, we have a lot of relationship accommodations, both for me and for him. And he's neurotypical because get this, everyone has needs that need accommodated. Yeah. So a big one for us is when I have verbal shutdowns, he will just be like, hey, are you having a verbal shutdown right now? And I'll be like, I'll either nod or I just won't say anything. And he'll be like, okay. If and when you're ready to talk, I'm here. I'm not ignoring you, which helps with my RSD, my rejection sensitive dysphoria. I'm just going to play my game while you experience what you're experiencing. And whenever you're ready to invite me into that, he doesn't always use this language because he's not as much of a, he hasn't been in therapy for over a decade like me. But, whenever he gives that vibe of whenever I'm ready to invite him into my experience, I can. Which is nice. He also reads all the fine print on major decisions. Like, we had babies this year, we bought and sold a house this year. He reads all the fine print. I blindly agree to everything without him. Yeah, it's not good. He reads the fine print for me. I drag him out of the house. He's a very outgoing introvert. Being around people tends to drain him, but he really likes it while he's there. So I drag him out of the house at probably at least once a week. I'm like, we gotta go do something. You have to get out of this house because otherwise he would literally be here all the time. Anyway, let me check what's going on in the chat. Yeah, I've noticed that sometimes for whatever reason, suddenly my brain cancels out extra sounds. It's almost like a, yeah, that may or may not be related to ADHD. Sometimes that happens with me too. Never heard of Wise Mind. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. You can stick your hand in a bowl of ice water. Yes. Vagal toning. Heck yeah. Let's see. You do not need to earn accommodations. This is friends, community. Yeah. It makes total sense. I'm usually focused on something I really like and I zone in and it's extremely quiet until I notice it. Then my brain picks up on everything again. Yeah. My polycule is ND and we all got autistic coloring books for holidays this year in it. There are cue cards that we can point to if we go nonverbal. That's amazing, Sarah. I love it. I already feel more comfortable here than I do with most of my so-called friends. Oh, Danny, I'm sorry. I know that's really hard, actually. such a hard time with self-compassion in general, because it's like, if I don't at least hate myself for screwing up or otherwise not being good enough, I won't have any motivation to be better. It doesn't actually work, but it feels right. Yes. I understood bagel toning. I'm all for that as well. Heck yeah. Sorry if that laugh was loud into the mic. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Kyra, there we go. I was like, I know you told me how to say this. Okay, Kyra. This goes back to what I was saying in an earlier talk. I don't remember which talk it was because they're all kind of running together in my head. But you can never be poor enough to make everyone rich. You can never be miserable enough to make everyone happy. And rising tides lift all boats. Raising yourself will raise others as well. So this idea that you deserve punishment, that the only way to motivate yourself is through self-hatred and self-loathing and beating yourself up with this horrible stick. First of all, if that worked, it would have worked by now. How old are you? How long have you been doing this? If it worked, it would have worked by now. So just on a purely practical basis, give that shit up, right? But on an emotional basis, you also don't deserve it. Right? You don't deserve it. You deserve so much more, not because you're productive, not because you're good, but because you're human. Okay? You're human and you deserve better. Yeah. Work that bagel. Yeah. Harmony / balance between emotional mind and logical mind equals wise mind. Yeah. Neurodivergent DBT books out there. Yeah. I really like Sunny Jane Wise. I haven't read her book, The Neurodivergent Guide to DBT, but I've heard very good things about it. So. Let's see. We really don't deserve to shame ourselves. No, we don't. That's what neurotypicals want from us. Not all of them, but neurotypical society. Neurotypical as in the royal neurotypical, not as in specific neurotypicals in your life. The royal neurotypical, just like the royal white supremacy, the royal sexism, all that stuff. The royal neurotypical wants you to feel ashamed so that you'll hide and they don't have to deal with you. Right? They just don't want to have to address you. They just want to pretend everyone's like them. And then they don't have to work as hard to be inclusive, basically. And I think it probably goes deeper than that. It's probably not even just not wanting to work as hard. It's probably like, well, if someone does it different, and like, does that mean I'm doing it wrong? It's like an insecurity, I think. So yeah. A book on wise mind. Do you have a favorite? Anything that involves DBT will talk about wise mind. But like I said, I like Sunny Jane Wise a lot. So I would guess their book is probably the best. So yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. We forgot time and space. Time and space accommodations. Okay. So number one accommodation for time is my visual timer. You can move it like this, and as time passes, the color will slowly disappear. And then when it gets to the end, it dings. And there's also like a pause button up top. So if you're like, oop, I have to pause what I'm doing, you can go ahead and do that. But it's really helpful for those of us who do not perceive time in a linear way. So if you struggle with something that's traditionally called time blindness, we are moving away from that term. The blind community has asked us to maybe not use that, please. So if you struggle to perceive time in a linear way, much in the same way that someone might be colorblind, in that it's not that you're ignoring it, it's not that you're being stubborn, you literally don't perceive it. That is really hard because you might hyperfocus and lose several hours that you didn't mean to lose, or you might like have a meeting at 4 and it's 3:00 and you're like, okay, it's at 4, I won't miss it. And it's 3:15. Okay, it's at 4, I won't miss it. It's 3:30, I won't miss it. It's 3:45, I won't miss it. And all of a sudden it's 4:30 and you missed it. How many people has that happened to? Because that happens to me all the fucking time. It's terrible. Visual timers help with that. So I really recommend that. Space. Put on a like to-do list of some kind, put on a reminder in your phone, tell your partner, partners, parents, whatever, I need to like revamp my space once a week because I need it to be clean or at least organized in my way so that I can focus. Yeah. So let's see. NTs are programmed to fear differences. Marlo, I think you're exactly right. Yes. Let's see. My partner is like, I'll be an hour. And I'm like, well, no, more like 3 hours. Yeah. I'm the opposite. I have become hyper time aware, but that's probably like a way of masking, right? Like it's your way of being, because I would guess it sounds like there's a lot of fear behind, like you're making up for the fact that your perception of time doesn't come naturally, right? I set about 20 alarms for this summit. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't happen to me, but I get paralyzed to not do much besides stare at the clock until the time. Yeah. Oh, the appointment's at 4, so I should leave at 3:30. Somehow it turns into it's 3:45. I'm doing fine. To what the fuck? It's 4. I haven't even left yet. Yeah. Oh. Let's see. Okay. ADHD wait mode. Wait mode's the worst. For sure. Yeah, Sarah says used to be super time aware, and since unmasking, it's switched. Yep. So step 3 is to document your differences. So I think this is really helpful for like beating that imposter syndrome when you keep track in some kind of physical way of the ways you are different from the quote unquote norm. So I personally do this through very, very publicly through my TikTok, my podcast, coaching other people even. But you don't have to do that if that feels way too personal. You can journal, paint, create other things to express how you're different. And this is not meant to make you feel shame for being different, but rather to help you see that your differences are actually neutral and not moral failings on your part. Okay. So the documentation is not like, let me list all the ways I'm fucking broken and I hate myself. You know, like I think I used to take that approach a little bit. This is more of a like, okay, it seems like other people don't do this unless they're also like avoidant personality disorder, or unless they're also epileptic. Like it seems like non-neurodivergent people don't do this. So like, and just keeping track can just help be like, okay, maybe this isn't a way I'm super weird and broken. Maybe it's just a way I actually fit into this other category, you know? All right. So I think this is the part a lot of people have been waiting on, and that's fair. The diagnosis decision. So next up, you're going to have to decide whether you want to seek a paper diagnosis. And I call it a paper diagnosis for a reason. It is not an official diagnosis because a piece of paper is no more official than you self-identifying, in my opinion, I suppose, but it's a very strong opinion I have. I lost my train of thought because I messed up my glasses. Hold on. We'll get back to it. Let me check the comments real quick. Unmasking plus trauma work for me. Yeah. I seem to think that if there's a chunk of time, the thing will magically happen, except of course I get to that time and I don't do it. Yes. Yeah. I've asked myself specific questions, like if I got married, would I know who to ask to be my bridesmaids? The answer is no. I don't have enough friends, and the ones I do have don't really believe in weddings. Oh, I hope, Alicia, that if you got married and you asked your friends to be your bridesmaids, hopefully they would put aside their own beliefs for a day to support you. I really hope they would. I tried to do this unprompted and couldn't think of anything. Yeah, this is where I recommend. So if you bought the goodie bag, you have access to my ADHD and autism diagnosis binders. Those have links to reliable self-assessments on autism and ADHD. You do not need the binders to get those assessments. Those assessments are available for free online. However, I have just compiled them so that they're all in one place for you. That's the benefit of the binders. But you can find all of those assessments online yourself, and they're free and whatever. So there's that. But if you have the goodie bag, all of the assessments are in there. What I recommend doing is going through the assessments, highlighting the questions that really stick out to you, and then adding those to your documentation of ways that you are like maybe a little different or something, or neurodivergent potentially. Let's see, TBH, at the point where I don't think I'm neurodivergent because I don't think neurotypical people exist, but largely because I'm realizing very few, no one around me is neurotypical. One, lovely. Two, it does make it difficult to have a reference point though for what atypical behavior is. Yeah. I think I can understand that. I don't know. I mean, maybe just calling yourself neurodivergent in general, maybe that's not helpful for you, or maybe it is, but you don't need to get more specific. Like, maybe you're good where you are, you know? At the same time, autistic traits are human traits. They occur in the general population. Yeah. Oh, I'm not into weddings. Okay. So basically you're creating a false or a fictional scenario to torture yourself. Like, what if I got married? I wouldn't have enough friends to have bridesmaids. That sucks. But I would never get married. I'm not into weddings. So like, why are you doing this to yourself? You know what I mean? And I'm not judging. I do this too. But it's something I'm working to let go of, because why, and I think autistic brains do this a lot. We take a kernel of truth and we try to push it as far as it'll go so that we can find the limits. Does that make sense? This is what I do with my poetry a lot. I take metaphors and I push them and push them and push them until they break. And that's usually the end of the poem, right? But I feel like you're trying to do that with friendships. Like, you're trying to prove to yourself that you're alone and that you have nobody and not enough people are there for you. And you're doing that through fictional scenarios that don't, like, make you happy, I guess. How long will the bag be available? Until next Monday, so the 15th, I believe. And then access to the goodie bag goes on for like long term, but sale of the goodie bag will stop on the 15th. So don't feel like you have to use the goodie bag before the 15th. You'll still have access to it long after that, but the sale of the goodie bag, like, you won't be able to buy it after the 15th. Formal diagnosis was very validating and managed to tone down my imposter syndrome a lot. Still, it's a privilege as it's expensive, not insurance covered in the US, and finding someone to diagnose you over 21 is a challenge. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I also got a lot of validation from my paper diagnosis. It was really important to me. And I'm glad I did it. So I'm not knocking paper diagnosis at all. I just want to emphasize how not essential it is. You know, you are still neurodivergent without a paper diagnosis, right? Let's see. I did the same thing with having kids. I always said, oh yeah, one day whenever someone asked me when I'm going to have kids, being parentified and realizing that I never wanted kids to begin with was a huge realization. Yeah, Marissa. If you're trans, a formal autism diagnosis could cause additional problems in some states. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So, okay, let's dig into this. Pros of a paper diagnosis. It can grant you access to things you can't get without it, like disability benefits or medication. Okay. That's really big, especially for ADHD, because medication can go a long way. However, you do not always need to go through the formal assessment process of ADHD to access ADHD medication. Some family docs will look at your symptoms and say, you know what? It sounds like you have ADHD. Let's give this medicine a try. I know people who have done that. They have not had a formal ADHD assessment, but their family doc felt comfortable prescribing them a medication. So that's an option potentially. But for medical benefits, you do need paper documentation. So you will need a formal assessment. Pro number two, it can be hugely validating for many of us. That is the number one reason I got my diagnosis. And I used to be really ashamed of that. I was like, I'm literally paying money so that someone will make me feel better about something I already know. Like, that feels really stupid and privileged. And maybe it is a little stupid and privileged, but I needed it at the time. So I got it. And yeah. Number three, it can help you access medical accommodations if you need them, since it will be in your medical chart. So this is things like, if you're undergoing some sort of medical procedure and you need accommodations due to your autism, like, for instance, the fluorescent lights in the OR are just horrible for you, you get to wear sunglasses or something like that. I don't know. Things that you might be able to get without a paper diagnosis, but you might not. It depends. So yeah. I'm actually alarmed at who gets missed in childhood and who has imposter syndrome. Like, blatantly autistic people are like, oh, but what if it's not that serious? Meanwhile, they're gay and aromantic and dyslexic and can't have house guests and needs to use the same brand of salt without fail. Yeah. Insurance did cover my autism diagnosis, by the way, in Virginia, but that's specifically because it was being done as a differential diagnosis or something like that. Just wanted to share in case it's helpful. Interesting. Okay, Melody. Good to know. Good to know. Thanks for including the assessments in the goodie bag. I'm still so tender about what feels like giving away my consent. I don't want someone to tell me about me. Consistent gaslighting and being misunderstood by therapists and docs. Yes, that is one of the cons. So let's dig into that. Some diagnoses, especially autism, can cause issues in custody battles, immigration, and as Kyra mentioned, any issues with identifying as trans, okay? Or being trans, not just identifying as trans, like being trans. Anyway, it can cause huge issues in that department. There's also a very large financial burden a lot of the time. Most of the time, adult autism diagnoses are not, or assessments are not covered by insurance. They can cost anywhere from, I think the lowest I've ever heard in any country is $350. And the most I've heard is like $7,000. So it can be very pricey. And finally, many assessors know less about neurodivergence than you do. And you run the risk of being dismissed. All for what? All for what? You know? So. My insurance is also covering my assessments, but that is so privileged since insurance is tied to employment and other communities get overlooked and on, yes, yeah. So much of the traditional criteria based on 8 to 10-year-old white boys, no wonder girls, women, and minorities are missed, yes, exactly. I know I don't need the paper diagnosis, but I want it for the validation and medical accommodations. Yeah, Sarah, and that's valid. That's valid. You just have to weigh the cons. You have to be sure that it's worth it for you, right? And if it is, it is. For me, it was. For me, it super was, right? So, yeah. What if we already bought binders and now bought the goodie bag? Maybe nothing, but thought I'd ask. Yeah, no, they, if you've already bought the binders, but you also, you got tons of other cool stuff in the goodie bag. So I'm not doing like partial refunds or anything like that. Yeah. Have to log off now. Yeah. All right. Bye, Marlo. Yeah. Okay. So this is the diagnosis decision. If you do decide to seek a professional diagnosis, here is the route that I went and the route that I would recommend. First, I would go to the Neuroclastic Directory of Diagnosticians. This is where I found my assessor. It's where a lot of people I know have found their assessors. They have been very, very like informed and neurodivergent affirming. And there's even like little notes on the website of like people who've had assessments through them and what they thought. So I thought that was really helpful. So go through Neuroclastic Directory of Diagnosticians. Find one that's somewhat close to you and potentially takes your insurance if that's an option or is somewhat affordable to you. Then what I want you to do, a step that a lot of people leave out, is if you can find contact information, email them, call them, whatever you're most comfortable with and whatever they provide, and let them know how important this is to you. Like I reached out to my assessor and I said, hey, I'm self-diagnosed autistic. I take this very seriously. I'm reaching out to you for confirmation of that self-diagnosis. If you tell me I am not autistic, I expect a very damn good explanation for what is going on instead that accounts for all of these traits and symptoms that I've noticed. And she responded with, yeah, self-diagnosis is super valid. Most people, by the time they find me, are pretty sure about what's going on, but I'm happy to confirm. If that's not what I see, I promise we will go through what is going on. I really recommend taking this step because it decreases the chance that you will face invalidation in person. If you meet a jerk on email, that's one thing, but being told to your face you're not autistic because you made eye contact for half a second is really disheartening. Okay? So I really recommend taking that step. Then the next step, at least in my case, now it seems like lots of assessors do this differently, but for me, what this looked like was I went in for an hour-long interview. During this interview, my assessor was incredibly accommodating. The lights were on half brightness because they were fluorescents, so they were on half brightness. She had fidgets for me to play with. I had actually worn a fidgety necklace that day just in case I knew I was going to be fidgety. she had fidgets for me to play with. I brought her my autism diagnosis binder. She was like, I wish everyone brought me these. This is great. And we just talked. She asked me about my interests. She asked me about people in my life. She asked me, I don't know how I coped with disappointment and stuff. I don't know. She asked me lots of good questions, actually. I don't remember all of them now. And then after that, I scheduled a follow-up appointment via Zoom 2 weeks later. Now, the Zoom was just my choice. I could have gone to meet her in person, but she was like an hour away. So I just chose Zoom. Anyway, so 2 weeks later, in that in-between, during those 2 weeks, she sent me over about 6 tests to take. And I took all those tests. She actually sent over 2 for my husband to take about me. So we did those during that 2-week period. And then I had my follow-up and she went through the test. She went through the validity measures, which basically confirms that you're not faking, which is nice. And then from there, she said, yes, you are autistic and you have ADHD combined type, by the way, as well. For me, she just diagnosed them both because this was basically a psychological assessment, not just an autism evaluation. She told me she would test for, I was also concerned I might have BPD, which she said she didn't see signs of, which I don't know that I totally believe, but because I think I show signs of BPD, I just don't think I qualify for the full diagnosis. But anyway, it's a whole other thing. So that's what the process looked like for me. And then from there, I still email her sometimes. I'm really hopeful that she'll present at next year's summit, actually, because she's literally one of the most competent mental health professionals I've ever met. And that's not just because she gave me the diagnoses I thought I wanted. It's because she listened to me. So anyway, let me check comments. Let's see. If you walk in the assessment with your binder, they're going to know. I paid a 1-hour appointment with my diagnostician and interviewed her before I booked for diagnosis. Yeah. I've worked with high support needs autistic kids who loved social attention and made plenty of eye contact. Exactly. My evaluation lasted all day and I demanded snack breaks. Good for you. Also, yes, Alicia. So also some autistic people make too much eye contact. This is in my diagnostic report. It says makes intense eye contact when listening and avoids eye contact when speaking, which is so me. So that was really funny. Yes, my ADHD counselor told me that BPD fits the profile of a traumatized autistic person. It can. It definitely can. Yeah. My psychologist wants to interview my mom for childhood history. Did you do this too? I did not. I told her ahead of time, I have a very complicated relationship with my family of origin, especially around mental health, and I am not interested in doing that. And she said, okay. And that was that. So, yeah, exactly. Because my mom just dismisses everything and says, I'm fine. If the psychologist thinks they can get them talking, kudos, I guess. But to me, that just rings of arrogance. Like, you don't know my mom. She's not going to break for you. Like, anyway. Let's see. When I did research, I came to this conclusion, too. I was convinced I had BPD, but my psychiatrist and my reactions were proportional to my trauma. Interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I was told my eye contact was non-existent or hyper-intense. The latter usually in the moments when I realize I haven't made eye contact and might be interpreted as rude. Yeah. Mine too. Same type of mom, but I made sure it included someone else like my partner. That's true. So my assessor did have my partner take some assessments on my behalf, like what he noticed in me. So it's not like there was no outside input. It just wasn't from my parents or my family of origin. Holy shit, that's exactly how I am with eye contact. All of it when you're talking, none of it when I'm talking. Yeah, same, Colleen. I had to write a 5-page document about my life, a bunch of tests prior, and then a 3-hour interview. They were so thorough. That's great, Catherine. That's wonderful. Some of us are the kids of a generation who parented by saying, walk it off, suck it up. Yeah. Yeah, the questionnaires filled out by family felt really inaccurate because I hid everything. Yeah. Do you know which state in the U.S. has the highest renown for study and successful diagnosis, aka ND-friendly states? I don't, Vel. I do not know that. I'm sorry. My mom actually was the one who suspected I have autism. Hopefully she's supportive then. I hope so. Fleeting eye contact with the evaluator still didn't think I was autistic. Yeah, that's frustrating. It's also extremely disconcerting reading a doctor's interpretation on paper of a conversation with my mom that I wasn't present for when I was diagnosed with dyscalculia. Oh yeah. Be prepared when you get this assessment, whether it goes well or not, because I think my assessment went as well as it humanly possibly could have. And I was still very, very disturbed by the paperwork, not because it was wrong, but because I am such a high masker and I tried my hardest not to mask during the interview and assessment and everything. And she read me for filth, you guys. And it felt intrusive. I had never really been seen that way by someone I had known for such a short amount of time. I'd never been seen that way by a lot of people who know me really well. And to be seen that clearly felt very weird. So just prepare yourself. Even if it goes well, the paperwork might freak you out. Internalizers have a major disadvantage because they internalize everything. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so step five is find community. This is the part where I tell you about the NeuroSpicy Club. So if you know for sure you're not interested in that or you don't really want to chat about that, this really concludes the presentation portion. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still going to keep chatting, but I don't want you to think like, oh, well, I better stick around because there's going to be more to the presentation. That's really the I'm neurodivergent, now what portion. Now, this is one of the answers to now what, and to me, is community, finding community. And I think a really good way to do that is the NeuroSpicy Club. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Again, if you're not interested in that, that's completely fine. Do not feel compelled to stay. I understand you probably have things to do. It's been a very long day. There's a lot of presentations today. So if you're ready to go, that is fine. But if you're kind of on the fence about whether or not to join the NeuroSpicy Club, I obviously recommend that you do, but I'm going to shoot you straight. So if you have questions, put them in the chat and I will absolutely answer them. Okay. So consistent, friendly, neurodivergent community. I recommend the NeuroSpicy Club. It's a collection of people with all kinds of neurodivergencies. Actually, let me pull up the Discord real quick. And let me see what we have. And I'm always looking to add more forms of neurodivergence. So types of ND, we have ADHD, autism, BPD, OCD, bipolar, depression, comorbid ND soup is one of the channels, comorbid ND soup. Yeah, everybody's like, wow, you're so self-aware. I think it's ruining my life. Okay, Kyra, something I want to introduce to you is something that's really helped me with self-awareness. First of all is bottom-up therapy models. So instead of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is very top down, you want to use bottom up. You want to do therapy that starts with the body. And I think that can be really helpful for deeply self-aware people. But also, I think that really, really, really painfully self-aware people are actually missing a piece of self-awareness. And I know you're going to be like, no, Megan, I know every crevice of myself. Trust me, that sounded dirty. You know what I mean? I know everything about myself. There's nothing I'm missing. Trust me. I'm going to argue with you because I thought this way for a long time too. I was the most self-aware person in the entire world. It was ridiculous. It was hugely a trauma response. It was very unhealthy and unhelpful. But the way it worked was like my self-awareness is like a choo-choo train, just chugging along, learning things, collecting passengers, right? Like, oh, there's that trauma. There's that trauma. There's that negative behavior. All right. And then I hit a wall and I couldn't get through it. Right. And beyond the wall is behavioral change, right? That's where we actually get to improve our lives. And I couldn't get through the wall. And so what did I do? I looped around and looped around and looped around and looped around and had the same fucking epiphanies over and over and over about myself. And it was exhausting and I hated it. Right? Does it sound familiar? You want to know what the wall is? The wall is self-compassion. Because until you acknowledge that you are a person worth being, you'll never fully know yourself. Your self-awareness is limited by the fact that you refuse to see your self-worth. That was the case for me. And the minute I even let in a tiny, tiny bit of self-compassion, like I'm talking in grad school, I actually thought I might be possessed by the devil. Like that's how low my self-esteem was. I genuinely thought I might be a demon of some kind. That's how much I hated myself. And so my self-compassion didn't start with, I'm lovely, I'm worthy. None of that. My self-compassion started with, okay, I'm not the devil. I'm not actually the devil. I'm not possessed. I'm not a demon. That was my beginning of self-compassion, and it rocked my world, changed my life, opened the floodgates, and let the train through, okay? So I know that sounds really woo-woo or whatever, but I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference. So yeah, yep. Welp, read me to filth, yeah. My therapist all told me I was really self-aware in college. Turns out they were wrong. Took me 30 years to realize I'm queer and ADHD, yeah. Is this group good for people in PST? Okay, it depends on if you're a morning person or not. A lot of our calls, so let me go through. So where is, there we go. Weekly group body doubling is Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So that would be 8 a.m. PST, I believe. 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. Monthly group coaching is, I believe, the first Wednesday of every month. And it's at 11 a.m. as well. So 8 a.m. Our monthly guest expert workshops are either on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. They're random because it's scheduled by the people who are doing the talks. But they tend to be in the afternoon, so somewhere between 1 and 3 p.m. Eastern time. Book club is at 9 p.m. Eastern time on the, excuse me, the last Wednesday of the month. And then monthly work days, I believe, are on the third Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And all of this is in a Google Calendar that you can sync with your own Google Calendar, so you don't have to memorize all this bullshit. So it really depends on your schedule if it's friendly for PST. Damn, Megan. Fuck, no, I'm crying. I'm so sorry. I see so many people who are painfully self-aware, and I just want to like give them such a huge hug, because that pain doesn't come from knowing too much. I know it feels that way. It comes from not knowing your worth. It comes from not knowing enough, even though it feels like you already know everything. Totally told my therapist 2 weeks ago that I didn't see any self-worth. And then my brain was like, whoa, what about this and this and this? And then since then, I've been seeing more. Tori, that's amazing. I thought I was a narcissist. My special interest is me, LMAO. Okay, first of all, narcissistic personality disorder is absolutely included under the neurodivergent umbrella, and narcissists are welcome here, okay? Especially narcissists who are working on their narcissistic traits so that they don't, you know, necessarily harm others, just like people who are depressed and working on themselves so that they don't harm others are, you know what I mean? We are better to each other when we're better to ourselves. I think that for everything, including narcissistic personality disorder. So just to address that really quick, but also my special interest is me. Same. Like if I can really just internalize, I deserve to exist. Yeah, Kyra, that's what you got to work on internalizing. Yeah. I've cried like 5 times this weekend. Yeah, my family is jam-packed with this issue, so no one really noticed it in them. Also, all my fam say we're normal. Like, peeps, we are ND. Yay, no memorizing more things. Yeah, no, you don't have to memorize stuff. It's all in a Google Calendar. You can add it. So, yeah. Yeah, Alicia. So 7 a.m. my time. Yeah, it's up to you, Kyra. It's really up to you. And it's only, the group coaching is once a month, so you don't have to get up at 7 a.m. every week. It's once a month, you get up at 7 a.m. and you come to the call. It's up to you. My diagnosis opened the floodgates for my family to see ADHD in themselves. Wait till I tell them I'm self-diagnosed as autistic too. Yeah. How long are the body doublings? I work at 8:30, which would mean I'm only available for about 15 minutes. Yeah. It's for the body doubling is for 1 hour-ish because we end up chatting a little bit, but usually about 1 hour each week. And then the group coaching is usually anywhere from 1 hour to 2 hours. I try to leave it open to make sure everybody who wants to gets coached, but at the 2 hour mark, I really kind of got to cut it off just for my own sanity. I don't villainize NPD. Hell yeah, Phoebe. Love it. I've read that people with NPD did not have empathy. Is that accurate? It is inaccurate, actually. So NPD is a trauma-based personality. It's a personality disorder, which means it's based in trauma, which means that a lot of people, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, and I don't have NPD, so I can't speak from lived experience, which is what this weekend is all about. But a lot of people with NPD shut down their empathy and have a hard time accessing it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And also, I want to point out that empathy, like not having empathy, because a lot of autistic people struggle with empathy as well. Not having empathy doesn't mean you can't be a good person or a kind person. Compassion can exist regardless of empathy, right? So just to throw that out there. Yeah. Megan, wondering if you can vocalize this for anyone who might see this video much later without the comments. I'm hoping it could be helpful for people to know what the possibilities are. Oh, okay. Let's see. Yes. Okay. So Melody says, I got both my ADHD and autism diagnoses for free while unemployed on Medicaid in the state of Virginia. It was with a neuropsychiatrist and lasted about 8 hours put together. Just make sure you get it pre-approved. Edited to add, I did have to try with 5 different providers over the course of 1 year, though, before I found someone who believed me enough to refer me to the neuropsych. Okay, thank you. Yes. Which ones are replayed? Okay. Body doubling is not replayed because it's just us sitting in silence, getting stuff done, and then chatting in between. We do a Pomodoro. So we chat for 5 minutes, work for 25, chat for five, work for 25, and then chat for five at the end. So that's kind of what it looks like. But the group coaching, guest expert workshops, book club meetings, and work days are all available as replays in the Discord server. I feel like there are a lot of steps before getting to such a word like deserve. For me, it felt like feeling how plants deserve to exist and how connected I feel to plants and flowers and thinking, well, I just get to be my flower self. And that was a step in the right direction. Iris, I love that. I love that so much. TikTok mental healness. He's a diagnosed narcissist, talks about his journey. I think I know that person. Yeah, love that. I think that empathy with NPD exists on a kind of spectrum depending on the person. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not really. We have narcissist parts, but in NPD, those parts take over often due to trauma in childhood. When those parts are in the driver's seat, it makes it hard to use empathy. And I think that's often the case, but I don't like to say, oh, narcissists don't have empathy, because first of all, it's a huge spectrum, just like we're all muffins. So like all people with NPD are pancakes. Okay. And there's lots of types of pancakes. There's protein pancakes, there's chocolate chip pancakes, blueberry pancakes, cinnamon pancakes, and everybody's going to be a little different, you know? So we don't want, yeah. Cool. I want coaching replays. Heck yeah. Oh, the CC. Yeah. I don't know how to turn it off. I'm so sorry. Listen to everybody else in the comments telling you how to do it. I am not sure how. Yeah, so that's the NeuroSpicy Club. It's a really wonderful community, and it is pay what you can. There is a $3 a month minimum, but it's pay what you can now. It used to be $27 a month. I do feel that it's worth like $100 a month, to be honest, with how much of my time and effort and energy you guys get. But that being said, I think there are so many people who need this, and I can afford to provide this at a pay what you can price now. I didn't used to be able to afford that, and now I can. So I'm going to. So if you want to join, if you're on the wait list, you should have gotten an email starting at 6 o'clock. But in case you didn't get on the wait list or you thought you weren't interested, but now you are, there's a QR code on the screen right now. All you have to do is use your phone and scan it. If you're watching on your phone, you can go to https://neurodivergentmagic.com/membership. And I can drop that in the comments. Let's see. Neurodivergent magic, not mafic, magic.com/membership. Done. Okay. So there you go. There you go. When did you say body doubling happened? 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays. So tomorrow at 11 a.m., we can come hang out. I will be doing nothing during body doubling. I will be relaxing. I will be reading a book. I will be watching YouTube because that's what I need after this weekend. But yeah, I wish I had banana pancakes right now. Got to make some dinner. Yeah. let's see. Is your NeuroSpicy group the one that has a waitlist? It did, Marla, but the waitlist is now gone. If you go to that same membership page, it will now take you to Ko-Fi, where you can sign up for a monthly recurring donation. It has to be recurring. If you do the one-time payment option, you will not be added to the NeuroSpicy Club. This is supposed to be like an ongoing thing. Now, granted, if you're like, no, I just want to join for 1 month, then do the monthly recurring, make your donation, and then go in and cancel future payments. I think that'll happen via your email. I'm pretty sure Ko-Fi works that way. So yeah. And if I'm wrong, let me know. But I'm pretty sure Ko-Fi, you can cancel through your email or through your Ko-Fi account. You can just go in and cancel. So yeah, that is how to go about that. Are there any other questions about the NeuroSpicy Club or anything like that? I think that takes us to our last slide. Yeah. Any questions? I can go ahead and stop screen sharing so y'all can see my face. Oh man, my hair's a little crazy. Wow. Okay. Anyway, I just realized I made muffins this morning for breakfast and it couldn't have been more fitting for today. Yes. Yes. Autistic muffins. That's funny. Okay. Well, we're going to do a 9 p.m. hangout. So I'm not going to linger on here too terribly much longer. But if people have questions, I'm super happy to answer them, especially questions about the NeuroSpicy Club. So hit me with the questions. Will you show your water bottle? Yes, of course. So my husband, this is actually my present for having the twins. So on this side, it says, "You're doing great," which is from a Bluey episode. And then there's this one, which is Bingo's checklist for when she's upset. And I love it so much. It's the perfect cup. I love it a lot. So yeah, I want muffins now. Same. I need dinner. Okay. Any questions? I'll wait another minute. Where did you get? I have no idea. My husband bought it. He got himself one too. It says, I don't know what it says, but it's the dad version. So I have no idea where he got it. let's see. My partner and I just watched Bluey together last night. Isn't it wonderful? I love Bluey. Love Bluey so much. All right. Well, we have one more thing before the summit officially concludes. We will all hang out at 9 o'clock and we'll just chill. I can answer more questions about the NeuroSpicy Club if you've got them. And that'll be the end of the summit, you guys. Thank you all for being amazing attendees. I have had zero issues this whole weekend with over 2,000 of you in this group. That's incredible. Like, I just want you all to give yourselves a pat on the back for not being assholes. Like, thank you. That's amazing. Let's see. Thank you. See you at the hangout if I can stay up. Yeah, of course. I have a red healer named Ember. Love Bingo and Bluey. That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you for putting together. Of course. And thank you all for coming. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for making it possible. I appreciate you all more than I can say. And I promise I am actually more emotional about this than I am coming off. I am just in do it, do the thing mode. Does that make sense? Not feel mode. I'll be in feel mode all next week. I'm sure I'll cry a bunch. But yeah, it's been so wonderful and affirming. This weekend was amazing. Excited about the club. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's true. Here, let me drop that link one more time. I think I can do it on here. It'll be easier. You can cry later. Exactly. I'll cry later. There's that link one more time. It's family meeting night, so I probably won't be at the hangout, but this weekend has been amazing. Oh, Sarah, that's great. And don't forget to email me. You want a book. And the winner of the book for me, hold on. Let me look really quick. Because I'm giving away the I Am Autistic, a workbook. It's so good. I love it so much. Let's see. So hold on. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. I'm so sniffy. I will announce it later. I will announce who, if I don't win, I need a link. Oh, to the book? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will actually, if you go to the reading guide, it's in featured. There are links. All you have to do is download the PDF. Each book is linked to my affiliate link. So yeah, but I will announce the winner after I'm off live because I can't do everything while I'm like, I can't focus. So, okay. Cool beans. It was wonderful hanging out with you all. You all are the best. Thank you so much for being yourselves and for being here. And I will see you at the hangout.
As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you give us a follow over on Spotify, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next Saturday for another amazing episode.